How is everybody this evening?
Fantastic.
Well, that was quick. Yeah, that's great. I like to hear that. Tonight,
we're going to be in 1 John, and we're going to go through verses of chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10. The last time I was up here and spoke, we talked about verses 5, 6, and 7. Before we start, John's writing this letter, as I said last time, to protect his flock of faithful believers in Asia Minor, which is currently Turkey, by reminding them of God's truth. And the reason being that if you study the truth, you will be aware of what is false.
Amen.
So it's important to study the Word.
Amen.
And this is what John is trying to emphasize to his faithful believers. Let me open with prayer and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you do for us. Please allow every one of us to absorb this word, to grow by it, be feeding on it. And Lord, we love you for everything you do for us. Please be with those who couldn't be here tonight and keep them safe. Be with those who are gone on the road. Give them travel mercy, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So in addition to leading and feeding their sheep, godly pastors as spiritual shepherds must also warn their flock about false teachers and false doctrine that they spread. Much the same as the Apostle Paul charged the Ephesian elders. I'm going to read 1 John. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 in chapter 1, and then we'll get started. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in the darkness, then we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So we went through verses 5, 6, and 7. And now we're going to go start on chapter 8, or verse 8, where it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and truth is not in us. The first part of this chapter was about those who ignored their sin. They just ignored it. Now, John is focusing on a group of false professors that claim to have no sin. And so-called Christians that claim that they are higher at a higher spiritual plane and claim that sin no longer exists in their lives, have completely missed the boat.
Yep.
They've completely missed the boat. They have completely misunderstood their condition and the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification. We start at justification. Then we go to sanctification, which is a lifelong, ongoing process where believers are gradually made more holy and Christ-like by the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, that leads to glorification. Amen.
Amen.
Our goal and hope of future perfection. Anyone that can ignore the existence of sin in their life is clear evidence that truth is not in them.
Right.
You can walk around and your sin doesn't bother you, the truth is not in you. And we know a lot of people like that. But we're working on it. Jesus Christ was the only human being who could ever claim to be without sin and not be lying. All who make such an outlandish claim is only deceiving themselves. The only time that humans will be without sin is when we are glorified in heaven. That is when the sanctification process will be complete, and then we will be without sin and in heaven with the Father. So acknowledge that sin is a universal human condition. Denying sin is self-deception and contradicts the truth of the Scripture. Anybody that denies sin is contradicting the truth of the Scripture. Understanding that claiming sinlessness is a form of self-deception. We must be honest with ourselves and God about our sinful nature. Own it. You cannot fool God. We all know that. So embrace the truth of God's Word, which reveals our sinfulness and our need for a Savior. The truth sets us free from deception. Regularly practice confession and repentance. Strive to walk in the light of God's truth, which involves acknowledging our sins and seeking His forgiveness and guidance. Anybody got any questions or comments? Okay, move right along. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession of sin is absolutely crucial to entering life, also known as justification. Entering the light is justification, and walking in the light, also known as walking in the Spirit, is sanctification. Both very important. Without repentance and confession of sins, there's no justification in the eyes of the Lord. The forerunner for Jesus, John the Baptist, he had a mission to fulfill. He was fulfilling ancient prophecies and preparing the way for the Messiah's arrival through preaching repentance, baptizing people in water, and pointing directly to Jesus as the Son of God, ensuring people were ready for the coming of the kingdom of heaven. John the Baptist didn't pull the punches when it came to that. He wasn't part of the traditional religious system. The repentance and confession of sin that John commanded was so strong that it required total self-denial. This made coming to salvation to some too demanding. In Luke 13, 22-24, it says that he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then one said to him, "Lord, are there a few who are saved?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able." They can't do it. We all know by witnessing new seekers looking for something better in life that we explain the process of giving your life to Christ They start out strong, and then some of them will fall by the wayside. It's not because they cannot do it. It's because they don't want to conform to Christ's way of life. They're having too much fun, quote unquote, in the life they have now. Living the life of Christ isn't fun to them. I'm not saying to give up on any of these people. We must continue to pray for them and continue to show the love of Christ. God calls upon sinners everywhere to admit their sins and repent. Do all of them do that?
No.
That's where we come in now. In Acts 17, 30-31, it says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge in the world in righteousness by the man who he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. If believers confess and repent, God will forgive them.
Yeah.
If the believer does not confess and repent, just the same, God will not forgive them. God is faithful and just
always
to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do we know that? Because back in verse 7 it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. God is always faithful to his promise and always does what is righteous.
Amen.
He has to. That's his character. Confession is not just a ritual, but a heartfelt acknowledgement of our sins before God. Basically, admitting that God was right.
Yep.
God is right and always will be.
Yes.
It is essential for maintaining a healthy relationship with Him. God's promise to forgive is rooted in His unchanging nature. His faithfulness ensures that He will do what He has promised.
Yes.
Promises He made thousands of years ago. Did He change His mind? No. We promise to do something 2 days from now before that time comes. Nah, it changed my mind. I'm not doing that. God don't do that. His faithfulness ensures that He will do what He promised, and His justice ensures that forgiveness is granted through the sacrifice of Jesus. Forgiveness removes the guilt of sin, while cleansing purifies us from its effects. And this happens past, present, and future. This restores our fellowship with God and renews our spiritual vitality. We all know that when we are burdened with sin, if we don't repent, how we feel about that. When you finally can repent and confess, it's almost like you got a new energy because you got that load off your back. You gave it all to the Lord.
Get that
off your back. This restores our fellowship with God and renews our spiritual vitality. This verse offers assurance and hope. No matter how great our sins are, God's grace is greater.
Amen.
And He is ready to forgive and cleanse us when we come to Him in repentance. So call on Him.
Amen.
Any comments or questions? Okay. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So then there are those who claim to never have sinned. We all know better than that. We have Scripture all throughout the New Testament that says otherwise. So then there are those who claim to have never had sinned. They are calling God a liar, and that is blasphemy. We all know that God cannot lie. Lying is not God's nature, along with He never changes His mind. and he cannot allow sin in heaven.
Yes.
That will never change. Titus chapter 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, and has never changed his mind. I have that in there, but he has never changed his mind.
Amen.
And from time began, that was a long time ago. First, they deny Christ's teachings. If they say they have not sinned, they deny Christ's teaching that all have sinned. And second, they are denying need for a Savior.
Yeah.
You got to have a Savior to get rid of the sin.
Right.
The only way. Romans 3:22-23. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and not all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Praise God for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 1, verses 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Those who call God a liar by the things they say prove that God's word is not in them. And they may not just come straight out and say God's lying. The way people talk, that's what they're saying. You know more than God. Even a professed believer seeking to cover his or own sin is in spiritual darkness, deception, and blasphemes God. When those that are truly in fellowship fall into sin, they do not deny sin's presence. They own it. We all admit that we are sinners, every one of us. And we'll be sinners until our day of glorification. The difference is that a true believer will openly and honestly confess their sins before the Lord and repent of them. Don't try to hide it. That it just brings you down. Wait at it. Recognizing our sin is crucial for a genuine relationship with God. Denying sin is equivalent to calling God a liar, you just talked about. Confession is a vital practice for believers. It aligns us with God's truth and allows God's word to dwell in us richly, leading to spiritual growth and maturity. And maturity is a big word there. God's word is the standard of truth. When we deny our sin, we reject His word. And His word should be the foundation of our beliefs and actions. This should be our instruction manual on how to act. Anyhow, so believers, let's see, God's word is the standard of truth.
Amen.
When we deny our sin, we reject His word. And His word should be the foundation and beliefs of our actions.
Amen.
Believers must be vigilant against false teachings. False teachings that minimize or deny sin. Some teachers don't, you know, some false teachers, sin's not that bad. Depends on what it is. No, sin is sin. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be a thought. It's still sin. Such teachings can lead us away from the truth and hinder our fellowship with God. Living in truth involves a continual process of self-examination and repentance. When you're by yourself, when you're sitting there, you're praying, examine yourself. And if there's something you need to confess and repent, it's the perfect time to do it. It is through this process that we maintain a healthy and honest relationship with God. And just a reminder, like I said earlier, John is writing this letter to protect his flock of faithful believers in Asia Minor by reminding them of God's truth. And as followers of Christ, Believers are called to reflect His light in a dark world. That's what we're supposed to be doing. This involves living out the gospel in word and deed and pointing others to Jesus.
Amen.
Any other questions? Any questions or comments? All right. We went through that pretty quick. It's 7:20. I will close in prayer and I will ask for blessings on the food and no running in the hallway. All right, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, for the lesson, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who teaches us every day through the Holy Spirit. We would not be where we are today if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross, cleansing us of our sins, and the Holy Spirit to guide our path. Lord, please be with all of us today as we travel and we head home. Please give us travel mercy. Keep us safe, because it is dark out there, Lord. Also, Lord, we have food waiting for us in the kitchen. Please bless that food that it may nourish our bodies. Keep us healthy, Lord. Please bless the hands that prepared the food that we are about to consume. Lord, we thank you so much. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.